There was an odor of trouble, an indefinable wrong. It was like playing chess and making a bad move and not knowing why, but knowing instinctively that it was a bad move. The instincts were yelling, as they used to do long ago at night in Indian country. He gazed out into the black. The stars were obscured. It was the blindness that bothered him. Cavalry in Gettysburg. Harrison would know. "Sir?" He looked up again. In soft light, Fremantle.
"Beg your pardon, sir. Most humbly, sir. I'm not disturbing you."
Longstreet said. But there was something about the man, prepared for flight, that made Longstreet grin. He was a scrawny man, toothy, with a pipe-like neck and a monstrous Adam's apple. He looked like a pop-eyed bird who had just swallowed something large and sticky and triangular. He was wearing a tall, gray hat and a remarkable coat with very wide shoulders, like wings. He said cheerily, "If I am disturbing you at all, sir, my most humble apologies, but your fame, sir, as a practitioner of poker, is such that one comes to you for advice. I hope you don't mind."
"Not at all," Longstreet said.
Sometimes when you were around Englishmen, there was this ridiculous tendency to imitate them. Longstreet restrained himself, but he grinned.
"What I wanted to ask you, sir, is this. I gather that you are the authority in these matters, and I learned long ago, sir, that in affairs of this kind, it is always wisest to go directly, straight away, may I say, to the top."
Longstreet waited. Fremantle relaxed slightly, conspiratorially, stroked a handlebar mustache.
"I am most curious, General, as to your attitude toward a subtle subject, the inside straight. On what occasion, or rather under what circumstance, does one draw to an inside straight, in your opinion? Your response will be kept confidential, of course."
"Never," Longstreet said.
Fremantle nodded gravely, listening. There was nothing else. After a moment, he inquired,
"Never?"
"Never."
Fremantle thought upon it.
"You mean never," he concluded.
Longstreet nodded.
"Quite,"
Fremantle said. He drew back, brooding, then drew himself up.
"Indeed," he said. "Well, thank you, sir. Your most humble servant. My apologies for the disturbance."
"Not at all."
"I leave you to more important things."
He bowed, backed off, paused, looked up.
"Never?" he said wistfully.
"Never," Longstreet said.
"Oh. Well, righto."
Fremantle went away. Longstreet turned to the dark. A strange and lacy race. Talk like ladies, fight like wildcats. There had long been talk of England coming in on the side of the South, but Longstreet did not think they would come. They will come when we don't need them, like the bank offering money when you're no longer in debt. A cluster of yells. He looked up. A group of horsemen were riding into camp. One plumed rider waved a feathered hat. That would be George Pickett. At a distance, he looked like a French king, all curls and feathers. Longstreet grinned unconsciously. Pickett rode into the firelight, bronze curled and lovely, hair down to his shoulders, regal and gorgeous on a stately mount. He gestured to the staff. Someone pointed toward Longstreet. Pickett rode this way, bowing. Men were grinning, lighting up as he passed. Longstreet could see a train of officers behind him. He had brought along all three of his brigade commanders, Armistead, Garnet, and Kemper. They rode toward Longstreet like ships through a gleeful surf, Pickett bowing from side to side. Someone offered a bottle. Pickett raised a scornful hand. He had sworn to dear Sally ne'er to touch liquor. Longstreet shook his head admiringly. The foreigners were clustering. Pickett stopped before Longstreet and saluted grandly. General Pickett presents his compliments, sir, and requests permission to parley with the commanding general, s'il vous plaît.
Longstreet said, Howdy, George.
Beyond Pickett's shoulder, Lou Armistead grinned hello, touching his hat. Longstreet had known them all for 20 years and more. They had served together in the Mexican War and in the old 6th Infantry out in California. They had been under fire together. And as long as he lived, Longstreet would never forget the sight of Pickett with the flag going over the wall in the smoke and flame of Chapultepec. Pickett had not aged a moment since. Longstreet thought,
My permanent boy.